Matthew 21, 1 through 11. So Easter is next week. I'm excited. Make sure you get here a little early. It gets a little more full on Easter and parking and seats. If you like your seat, you want to get here early because somebody may take it next week. But we're excited about Easter. One of my favorite services. I love Easter. I love Christmas. Praise the Lord. Matthew 21. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome, is Gabriel Vasquez. Would you raise your hand? Where are you, Gabriel Vasquez? Right there. Welcome, Gabriel. Amen. I got his name here, so I got his name right. But who invited you, or are you with family, or your cousin? All right. So welcome. Welcome, Gabriel. I pray you continue to come. God has a plan for your life. Amen. Anybody else here for the first time? Did I miss anybody? Okay, good, good. Praise the Lord. Matthew 21, 1. It's Palm Sunday, right? So we have to read the story, don't we? And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to the Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over and against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, and full of the donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. A few days before Palm Sunday, or weeks before Palm Sunday, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the momentum about the name of Jesus was building and building. And now he's coming into Jerusalem, the biggest city, the capital of the Jewish people. And he's coming into the biggest city, and the word's getting out, and he's becoming famous. Lazarus was dead 3 days, and he rose when Jesus spoke. And there was a momentum starting to build, and people that recognized him said, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they knew that he was from the seed of David. And things started getting exciting for the people, because they're under occupation. They want freedom. They want to be free in freedom, and they think that Jesus is the way to get the freedom that they're looking for. So it's getting to a point where it's climaxing, where Jesus is becoming a star in Jerusalem. And this happens, and the momentum was really building. The people were getting excited. The promised Messiah, maybe this is really him. But what the people wanted was a physical king. A physical king to crush their enemies, the people that held them captive. They wanted a Messiah that would deliver them from captivity. What the people wanted was this, a physical king. However, Jesus was not offering that. He was offering to be a spiritual king who taught, love your enemies. See, they were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for victory in this world. when the kingdom of God is not this world. The kingdom of God is His kingdom. It's Jesus. It's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So what you and I need is the same thing. We need a Savior to take our sinful hearts and transform them to a righteous heart. Amen? Amen. Every one of us in this place are going through that process where your sinful heart is dying and your righteous heart is growing. Amen? Isn't that's the Word of God. It says your old sinful nature is dead and buried. You are new in Christ. We're all on this journey. And this is what we need. And this is what the people needed. But instead they wanted to see physical victory with what they see with their eyes. But the kingdom of heaven is not about what we see with our eyes. It's about the things we can't see with our eyes. Love. Joy, peace. So that's what the people were looking for. And they were getting excited that Jesus was the one. Then a few days later, just a few days later after Palm Sunday, if you turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Just a few days later after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and being honored and palm leaves being put in front of his path as to say, royalty. Just a few days later, Jesus is praying. And he's praying. And things are different. Just a few days later from the triumphant entry, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just imagine the emotional ups and downs that Jesus is going through. Though he's God incarnate, he was man. He didn't want to die. Just like you don't want to die. He was God incarnate, but he was going through these emotions. And he just experienced a wonderful thing, and the people were excited, but he is now at the garden, and he says this. He says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and I pray yonder." So Jesus is, sit here, I need to go pray. Sometimes we need to say that to our family, right? Just sit here, I'll cook dinner in about 30 minutes, I need to go pray for a little bit. Because you're getting on my nerves, kids, right? Yeah. Whatever the case may be. Right? That everyone can relate to what I just said, right? Sometimes we just need to go and pray. And Jesus was in one of those moods. Jesus had moods too, you know. Remember when he started knocking the money changers at temple? He was in a bad mood. This is not the purpose of God's house is to cheat people and make money and profit. You know, that was not it. So Jesus had moods, and it was time for him to pray. So he says, "You all stay here. I'm going to go pray yonder. He must have been from Kansas. Yonder. Is that what they say in Kansas? Yonder? Over yonder? Arkansas? I think I heard Pastor Corser in the 1970s when he was pastor of this church. I remember he used to use words like that. Go yonder. I'm like, well, what's that mean? That meant go over there. So Jesus says, "Here I am. I will go and pray yonder." And he took him, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So you get a description here that Jesus is feeling the weight of something. "Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." You know, Jesus is feeling. He's feeling the anxiety, the pressures. You can sense with these words that something heavy was on his heart. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed and he said, "Oh, my Father, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So Jesus gives you an answer here, what was weighing very heavy on him. He says, Lord, Father, if it be possible, can we save mankind another way? But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, you can really feel Jesus' his thoughts, his passion. He was like us. He felt pain. He felt anguish. He felt the heaviness. He felt it. And he comes unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter into not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can you imagine? Jesus is going through this and he turns around because he tells Peter to come with him to pray. And he and they're not getting it. Have you ever got... No one else is getting the urgency of the situation. Have you ever had that feeling? Someone move! Don't you all see something's happening here? You know, like your children are just like, get up, we gotta go. Yeah, right. They're sleeping, right? They're not getting it. Here Jesus is feeling the weight of what he's about to go through. He's feeling, come pray with me, Peter, come. And he's praying hard and he's like, you guys with me? No. And you can even hear Jesus' frustration in these words. He says, couldn't ye even pray with me for 1 hour? Don't you understand? He's thinking that there's so much temptation that the enemy tempts us and the spirit is indeed willing, but our carnal flesh, our sinful nature is weak. Of course, Jesus didn't have that. He overcame sin. But he knew Peter and they were... Don't you all see it? They didn't see it. They were asleep. He went away again a second time and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Wow. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again. And he prayed a third time, saying the same words. He's saying the same thing. Lord, if this cup can fall, but if it's not your will, I'm committed. I am committed to the plan. Jesus was committed to the plan. And that's the title of this sermon. Committed to the plan. Then he said to his disciples, sleep on now. He gave up on them. Just go ahead and sleep. Take your rest. Because the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He was committed to the plan. So here we go from the triumphant entry. Lazarus raised from the dead. People beginning to get excited about the Messiah. The word is getting out. He comes into Jerusalem. He's the rock star of the day. He's coming, and then a few days later, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows he's about to die. Can you just imagine that? Roller coaster ride. But one thing about Jesus, and if you put the slide up on the sermon, he was committed to the plan. He was committed. From Lazarus to Palm Sunday to to the Garden of Gethsemane, through it all, the ups and downs, the emotional highs, the emotional lows, Jesus was committed to the plan. Has anybody had a ups and downs in life? Every day almost, right? It's normal. But we don't live there. That is not who we are. Overwhelmed. Fear. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And for that reason, we can be committed to the plan that God has for our lives. Jesus set the example. God's kingdom plan was to save the world from eternal death. And Jesus, His name is above all names because He was committed to the plan. And the plan was to serve, to die, and to rise again. And the message for us this morning on Palm Sunday, for the church, for you as an individual, for the body of Christ is, are you, the challenge is, are you committed to the plan? To serve, to die, to self, to our will, and to rise again in victory. You see, the same plan that was for Jesus Christ was to serve, to die, and to rise. Think about it. Jesus tells us to serve, to die, to self. What did He say? In order to live, you must die. And then to rise in victory. Because you're new in Christ. You see how our Christian life parallels what Jesus' plan was on this earth? To serve, to die, and to rise. Are you committed to this plan? Are you committed to this plan? The plan God has for you. Are you committed to read your Bible? Are you committed, though you're tired and you had a long day of work, that this word is so important that it's our daily bread? Are you committed to reading the Bible? Are you committed to praying and having that daily relationship with God? Are you committed to putting yourself in a situation where your spirit is awakened? Are you committed? You know, when you're in your car and you're on your own, listening to Christian words and music and just praises to God, are you putting yourself in situations where your spirit wakes up, where your spirit is awakened, where your spirit is alive? Are you doing whatever it takes to be in church, where His presence is, where the Bible says we gather together, two or three, He's there in the midst? Are you committed? Because the enemy is going to put things in your way that you can make excuses. But have you made a decision that for you, for your family, for your heart, that's it? I know. I am committed to the plan. Because Jesus was committed to the plan. And He died for me. That's the least we can do to repay Him for His love, is to be committed to the kingdom plan for your life. Are you committed? Things are going to happen. Things are going to roll in your path that will give you excuses. But God's people, they rise above circumstances. Are you committed to putting yourself in situations where your spirit is alive? Like church, like music in a car, like at home, turning on music while you're doing chores or whatever. Just putting yourself in situations to let God and His Spirit be alive in you. Are you committed to surrendering your will to God's will? That's dying. Dying to self. This one here is not easy to comprehend what it means to you. But the Bible teaches us to die so that we may live. Surrender so that we may be free. So surrender. Are you committed to surrendering your will to God's will? know, on Tuesday, this Tuesday at the prayer meeting, it was just spontaneous, but there was a call to come up just if people felt that they're called into servanthood, into serving, into whether it's ministry or serving or something beyond just getting through the Christian life, but called to serve, to be in ministry, to do something like that. And people responded, and I felt in my heart just something tug. God's on the move, and He's preparing laborers to impact the community, to impact things around you. And it takes people committed to the plan. That when you go in whatever area God has you to serve, to minister, when you go and God begins to put you in a place, when you speak, they won't be words. They would be anointed, piercing, powerful actions that shake the foundation of what the enemy is trying to do. He's preparing us to be more than just get by on this Christian life. Each and every one of you are called to greatness. You may be thinking, oh, I can't speak in front of people. I can't do that. I can't do this. Well, you know, that's God already heard all that from Moses. I can't speak. Right? I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, God is not persuaded by what you think you can and cannot do. What you can do is be committed to prayer. What you can do is be committed to reading your Bible. What you can do is be committed to being in church and being part of a body of believers. What you can do is be committed to the plan one day at a time, and God will make way where there seems to be no way. God will put you in a situation where you can serve. But what got me on Tuesday night is that a response to not just be ordinary, a response to be great in His kingdom. I've been thinking about this all week. I was like, can you imagine? Jesus had 12. He changed the world. Can you imagine if every one of us in this place begin to be committed to the plan to serve, to die to our own will and our own plans, because God's ways are better than our ways. Amen. And to rise up in victory in who we are, new in Christ Jesus, just like Jesus rose. If we as a body of believers begin to live that, to believe that, to start showing up, we can change the community. You know, this area and Donna specifically has a bad reputation. But there's hope. You know, we see the kids, the teachers, they see the kids, the home lives, the attitudes, the hate, the disrespecting authority. They see it like live and in color. But there's hope. When people begin to be committed to the plan, there's hope. And it's not up to one of us to go and do all the work and change it. But together, each of us reading and praying and seeking God and surrendering our will, each one of us doing that little piece by ourselves. And whenever there's time to help and serve, you go. And that's one thing I love about this church is if we need to do something, I can send a text and people will show up. Now, some of you, it's the same people showing up every time. That's okay. Some of you that can, you know, kind of help every now and then, that's okay too. We have jobs, we have families and responsibilities. But when everyone begins to do that little piece, together in unity, we can change the community. God's preparing something. I know for years we've been talking about the colonias and getting out and God's and all of that. God is doing the work. Little by little it's coming to place. But you know why it's going the way it's going with God's timing? Because the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. But see, when I saw on Tuesday a response, I don't want ordinary. I want to answer the call. Powerful. That changes the world. That changes the community. So I want to just continue to challenge every one of you. Don't limit yourself. You can speak. The words that you say, what I love about Tuesday nights too is I ask for you to talk and I start hearing people speak and it just excites me because your words have power. Your testimonies, they impact others. You know that when you come to church, a lot of you think that coming to church is about you. But do you know when you come in a situation like this, that when people see you, they get excited that you're here. You know that you impact other people by coming, by being excited about being here, by having joy, by peace. You impact people by showing up. See, this plan, this commitment to the plan, let me just be blunt. If you want God to mold into your plan, you're going to get stuck in the wilderness. Surrendering to His plan is basically killing pride. Amen? Oh, no, Lord, you're going to do it my way. Oh, I'm only going to be happy with you, Lord, when you do it the way I want it to be done. When you line up, Lord, to my plan, then I'm going to get really excited and tell others how awesome you are. We don't say those words out loud, but that's how we live our Christian life. When Jesus said to die, this is what he was talking about, dying. But I have a good plan. Lord, my plan will work, just trust me. You know. I've learned a long time ago that my plan is lost. It's wilderness. The best way to describe it is being 40 years in the wilderness. It was the day that I just said, Lord, I don't even want to keep 10% anymore. I want you to have it all. If I've got to do this, if I've got to do that, whatever, Lord, just all. And then you wait on the Lord to open doors and close doors. Amen? You may be thinking, yes, Pastor, I want to surrender my will. I want, but I don't know how to do it. Here's the way you start. Read your Bible and pray every day and ask God to take over your life. To take over your will. For your will to be His will. Just every day. And show up. Amen? Show up. Committed to the plan. Are you committed to allowing your sinful nature to die as your righteous nature lives? Are you committed to being great in God's kingdom? If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. This mother asked, how will my son be great in your kingdom? And the disciples were listening. And they're like, how dare you ask? We're the disciples. We're the great ones. And Jesus answered the question. And Jesus in verse 23 said to the woman who asked, "How will my son be great?" He says this, "You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, to be great, and on my left hand, it is not mine to give," Jesus said, "but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 disciples heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They're like, "What do you mean, Jesus? We're the great ones. We're going to be with you." But it wasn't Jesus to say. He said, "My Father will determine that." That means you got a chance. That's what that means. And then Jesus said unto them, "Don't get mad. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you." Here's the answer. Jesus says, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Jesus said that greatness comes by service. Serving people. And Jesus, before his crucifixion, in John chapter 13, verse 14, he was gathering them together and he says, I want you all to do something for me, disciples. He says, "I want you to come and wash my feet." No, he didn't say that, did he? He says, "No, I want you all to sit there and I'm going to wash your feet." And Jesus says these words. Of course, Peter and the leaders are like, "No, you're not, Master. You're not going to wash our feet." And Jesus says, "I need to show you something. Before I leave, I need to show you something." And this is what he showed him. John chapter 13, verse 14. He says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also are to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Amen? Greatness, the plan, being committed to that, is about dying to pride and caring and serving people. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you will realize that statement is true. The more you grow in the Lord, the more excited you're going to get when someone finds Jesus Christ than you used to before. And Jesus says, "I need you to learn this lesson." And by washing each other's feet, Jesus didn't literally mean you have to wash each other's feet every day. The point was, you got to serve people. You got to treat them with respect. You got to love. You got to care. And ask Michelle to come as we get ready to close. Are you committed to this plan that God has for you? On this Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered Jerusalem and they celebrated, he was having a good day and then he's at the Garden of Gethsemane stressing. But through all of those emotions, Jesus said to his Father, "Not my will, but thine be done," because he was committed to the plan for you and I to be saved. So the question for the church this morning is, are you committed? Are you going to show up? Are you ready to be discipled? Not just to get by, but to begin to be in the front lines, to say, okay, I'm not just going to be ordinary. I'm going to be great in His kingdom. I'm going to commit to the plan. I'm not going to miss church just because something got in my way. I'm going to make it happen. And I know some of you in here have given me a testimony. Sometimes you came without your spouse or without your kids because they weren't ready, and I made it anyway. Committed to the plan. I've been praying about something for our Tuesday night services, and kind of, you know how God confirms things. Just, and this Tuesday was like a confirmation just in my heart. And thank you, Jesus. Confirmation, one of the things that I would pray to the Lord, and I'm giving you an honest moment that I have doubts once in a while about what He's doing with my life, but it doesn't matter. Just keep praying, keep reading, keep believing. One of the things I've asked God is, God, I don't know how to disciple people, to lead people, to move people from ordinary to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what book. I don't know what methodology. But like anything with God, if you're committed to the plan, not, you may not know how to get there, but if you're committed to the daily walk, He will give you what you need to answer that calling. And one of the things that I've honestly told God is, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how you disciple people. And I just feel in my heart that on Tuesday nights, we've been doing a lot of praying. Worship, prayer. Kind of just going with a believing God's on the move, and it's been beautiful watching God through our prayer meetings answer prayer and people growing. But just kind of confirmation, and I'm kind of announcing it here because it kind of ties with this message. Tuesday nights are going to slowly transform into discipleship trainings and leaderships and people that aren't just satisfied with ordinary. People that want to be in ministry, that want to be part of the call, something bigger than themselves. And I don't know how that's going to work out, but if you are committed to the plan, if you want to just, you know in your heart, I need to go to the next step with my commitment. Whether or not Tuesday nights work for you or not, I want to challenge you to begin to come on Tuesdays, not just to sit, but to be transformed, to taught, to be leaders, to be more than just getting by.